Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Jans with Agency Revolution. We make it easy to automate your systems, engage your customers, and grow your agency or brokerage. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where we examine the trends, innovations, challenges, and solutions to the biggest problems facing retail agents and brokers today. I'm really excited to be able to introduce you to Peter Van Aartrijk. Peter is, I would say, in our industry, the person I would go to if I needed to understand press, if I needed to reach press, if I needed to make a public position public. He's also the person that I recommend to my own clients if they are, in particular, really focusing on branding as a differentiation in the marketplace. I think he has a very deep, profound understanding of what agencies and brokerages need to do today to stand out from the crowd. So thrilled to be able to introduce you to Peter Van Aartrijk. He's the co-founder of Chromium, a San Francisco-based brand strategy firm with specialty in insurance and financial services. He started his career as a newspaper reporter, where he really learned to question the status quo. And I think that you'll find that throughout Peter's career, that is exactly what he's done. And I think he continues to do that today. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to my good friend, Peter Van Aartrijk. Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. I'm thrilled to hear some of the things that you have to say. You've been a longtime participant and leader in this industry, but also an advocate for the agent and the broker. So I want to hear what you have to say about some of the fairly dramatic level of change and the trends and forces that the agent of today is facing. So in the past, you've talked about the importance of a relevant organization. It's interesting that you say that. I remember reading a couple of years ago that Howard Schultz, the CEO and chairman of the board of Starbucks, yeah, said, that's my biggest challenge, is staying relevant to my consumer. And I thought, wow, sometimes you look at a company that's that big and you think all their problems are solved. But basically what he was saying was that his consumers are changing and their demands and their expectations are changing, and they constantly have to adjust to stay relevant to their consumer. What are your thoughts? What's got you going on this issue of relevancy between the agent community and today's consumer?
Well, I want to say, when we talk about relevance, we're talking equally about the customer / prospect and the employee. One of the amazing things to me is that Amazon paid $1.2 billion for a mail order shoe company in the middle of nowhere, Nevada,
right,
Zappos. Not just because it's a mail order shoe company that sells shoes, low cost shoes, and you get them in the mail. It's the culture, which is incredibly strong, and it's powerful. And so I think when agencies look at the next phase, the next 3 to 5 years, they need to not just be relevant to the customer and prospect, which is a whole potential can of worms on how that happens, but also to the future workforce. It's not enough now just to be a place that people have to go to work and get a paycheck. They have to be a place where people want to go to work. And that takes a lot of effort, but I think the agencies that are already there have that environment where people are excited about being there. And think about that. You're in the insurance industry. It's a place that you want to go to. You're excited about it. Your employee manual is not a big thick book about what to wear, when to come in, when to leave. It's maybe 5 or 6 real core values that say exciting things about challenge the status quo, where they're empowered to do their jobs.
Peter, I'm going to ask you a question, which it to some extent demonstrates my own bias. Do you see, as younger people come into or consider coming into an insurance agency or insurance brokerage, one of the images that I think none of us would be comfortable with would be for some young, enthusiastic, excited, and technologically connected person to walk into the sort of, unfortunately, average agency of today and to kind of look around the shop and maybe come to the conclusion that this is not the place for me. Have you seen a difference between these relevant agencies and the ones who are less relevant today in regards to the kind of technology they adopt and their approach and embrace of technology?
Oh, goodness. You hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
I want to start a new TV show called Extreme Agency Makeover, where we get a fund with somebody like Home Depot and somebody to give us money to go in and just I don't want to say blow the place up. You can't say that today. But just make the place so much more appealing to work at on the days that they're in the office, which is another issue.
Right.
But also, yes, with technology, absolutely right, Michael. We can't be using 1980s technology anymore. It's just not going to cut it with young people. I heard an agency told me recently they went to the cloud, and the new cloud provider of their management system said they can't have dual monitors or something crazy like that. So now the office has single monitors. Can you imagine? I mean, most CSRs and best practices kind of agencies have three monitors.
Right.
But that's really just a given today. I think the software that we're using needs to go from just an electronic file cabinet to something that is much more integrated with marketing, because there's no more sales funnel. The sales funnel is really more like a colander with prospects and customers who want to give you referrals outside of this funnel or colander talking about you an average of 17 times before a producer even hears about this prospect.
Interesting.
Somebody they should go after. 17 times, Michael. So they're going to your website, they're looking at social media or the lack thereof, they're talking to people, they're looking at a blog, hopefully, they're hearing from other people. So you've got to be in that community and manage, and the way to do that is with technology that is modern. So yeah, from the culture standpoint, which is equally as important as brand, the culture, the employee, the new employee standpoint, they walk in, they want to see something very modern, and modern doesn't have to be expensive. Modern just has to be modern. The tools that they're used to using, mm-hmm. not just Word and databases of customer lists and things, but real stuff that really works to attract this new generation of customer, which is a whole nother challenge given the disruptors that are coming in.
Aha. Uh-huh.
To our industry.
Yeah.
And in the last 12 months alone, there's been $2 billion of venture capital money poured into 1,100 startups. And some of these are like peer-to-peer, which if you'll recall, Michael, back in the 80s, we had these risk retention groups and risk purchasing groups and regional purchasing groups. It was a shared concept, which is still around today. But you know what's new is the wrapper, the way they look.
Right.
They don't look like insurance blue, boring colors. They're new things that people say, oh, insurance can be different. But we've always offered this sort of shared underwriting concept. But now with this venture capital money coming in, disrupting in some cases the agent entirely, but in other cases empowering the agent. And so I think if agency owners would be wise to spend some time learning about what's going on, understanding how to create an environment where people have a why, like why do I go to work, way more important than what I do there or how I do my job, but why I'm even working in the first place. And a good place to start and to wrap that up would be Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
Start With Why.
You can Google his TED Talks.
Uh-huh.
But it's incredibly powerful. If you don't have a why people should go to work, and why we're doing what we're doing here in the agency, then it's sort of pointless. in terms of building a strong culture.
Peter, that's a great segue to my next question, which is, what do you think agents, independent agents and brokers, and even carriers need to do to stay relevant in today's world?
Okay. Well, I think there's a number of things, but I guess I could sum them up by saying there's several that are most important. I think there's an issue of leadership in the independent agent channel that's lacking. Most, actually carriers as well as agents, but agents and brokers lack what I call transformational leadership.
Right.
There's a lot of transactional leadership, managed by numbers, things like that, which is important in this industry that's concerned with technical things and underwriting and actuarial, legal, and all those things. So you need people who can look at the numbers, but you need also people who can talk about vision. Where are we going in the future with this firm? Where are you, the CSR, headed in the future? If you do a great job in service, you can eventually be in sales if you want to be, and transforming those careers, but also talking about a vision for a better world that you're creating in the agency for your customers. Because people want to work at a place where that's going somewhere, that's not static. And so transformational leaders are always looking at improvement. They're willing to shake things up. They see change as dynamic and as an opportunity, not as a threat. They're obsessed with building culture that drives customer and employee happiness. And they listen to people and allow them an ability to grow, and they inspire people. You know, where's the inspiration? Yeah. This is a great industry, but we're so concerned about technical things all the time. The customer doesn't care about that. They know it's important, but they want to know why they should place their business with you, why they should cut a check to you. That you care about them. I know it sounds so painfully obvious, but we've got to get away from the stuff and talk more about the emotional things,
the people
around the business that we do. So that's leadership.
Uh-huh.
The second one is an understanding of culture. Status quo thinkers struggle to retain and attract talent, Michael, because they're losing those people to brands that are more innovative,
right,
as opposed to status quo thinkers, where it's more prestigious to work there. And one of the problems that I know agency owners have is that they're always talking about, convince me why you should work here. And I think a bigger part of this job in terms of attracting and building a strong culture is you, the agency owner, convincing the prospective employee why they should work, why they should come there. Why?
Uh-huh.
Why is this a great place to work?
Right.
You know, why training is so important around here, why we're painting a picture for the future. You know, have a great story and also have the staff be able to tell that same story, because if a staff has a list of values that they're running down, a track they're running down, and it doesn't have to be, again, those heavy rules about when to come in, when to leave, but more about how we behave as a company, or like I said, challenging the status quo means in meetings I can raise my hand and not get fired for asking a dumb question about a producer who does some status quo thing that we're trying to change.
Right.
So building a strong culture, which is branding on the inside, if you will, is the third.
Right.
The third one.
Uh-huh.
The third one I already touched on is engagement and realizing that the world has changed. It's not one-way marketing anymore. It's not about who can shout the loudest.
Right.
It's about engaging your community. And with the technology tools available now, Michael, you know, it's so easy for people to sort of mine that community and be in that community and show your people in the agency, in the community, and leverage that. Don't worry about the insurance stuff all the time. Worry about how you care about people and how you care about the community. So those are the main things that I would say separates relevant brands from irrelevant brands. And this, there's not just growth measurements of this sort of thing, Michael.
Uh-huh.
It's also real cost, because if somebody, a valued employee, were to leave your firm, it costs three times their annual salary to replace them in terms of lost opportunity and just finding somebody that can take their place. So keeping good employees is incredibly important.
So I'm going to summarize what you've said because I'm taking notes here, Peter. Number one is leadership. Number two, building a culture that has a strong reason why and a passion behind that reason why. Number three is engagement between the agency and the community itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
So let me ask you another question. I'm going to kind of circle back here a little bit. You had mentioned earlier that the agents who are not adopting or not adapting to the change they're probably going to wake up to a pretty dark situation. Is your sense that are you more optimistic, or do you see more and more agencies willing to embrace the technologies and the strategies of today? Do you feel like we're moving in the right direction as a channel?
You know, I wish I could prove that, because most of what I see is anecdotal.
Right.
But I feel like there's several different things going on. One is just the relentless aggregation that's occurring.
Yes.
Not just mergers and outright acquisitions,
right,
but also this clustering, even informally on a regional basis, of
right,
agents ganging together. And when they do that, I think they're forced to provide, they're forced to have more modern technology. So that's a good thing, but it's sort of one of those kicking and screaming kind of things that's going on.
Right.
The agencies that are merging or being bought are, unfortunately, a lot of times it's the position of weakness.
Right.
There are some that are being purchased that where it's from a position of strength, and I think what Marsh has done buying the large regional brokers,
yes,
large regional agents,
uh-huh,
is an example of that. We have a really strong agency that's being purchased by a Marsh, but there's others doing the same thing. The other thing, though, Michael, the third thing I see is, well, there's a whole bunch of them that are just not going to be around. I mean, let's just call
right,
it what it is,
okay,
because they're not making any changes, and maybe they don't want to. They know they have an issue, and they don't really want to deal with it. They just want to ride this out for the next 10, 15 years, and they probably will. They'll be fine. There'll be a declining book, maybe declining staff, but it's a free country, and that's what will happen. And I don't know how many of the total number of agencies will fall into that camp, but that'll happen. But what I am seeing, and I run into them at trade shows, is this younger owner, younger,
right,
at least younger producers,
mm-hmm,
who are doing things in a new way. And it's really pretty exciting. Some of them even have some investment from the outside to do things in a new way. And they don't care about the way things have always been done in the independent agent channel. They're doing things in a new way. Because you and I both know it's a great model, the independent agent channel, from the customer perspective.
Right.
Also from the employee perspective. It's
right,
a great model.
Yes.
And so why not find a way to make it more efficient? But also, with efficiency comes not just fewer people doing more things or more transactions, but also frees you up to do the things that customers really want, which is not so much insurance, it's more risk management.
Right.
You know, and caring about those life events, not just birthdays, but you know, when I get married, when I have a child, when I buy a house, when I cohabitate, when I buy a new car, all these life events are meaningful things in people's lives that are often missed by agents. I saw somewhere that one out of four agencies don't know that there's a youthful driver being added, or don't communicate around it.
Ah.
Youthful drivers is the top reason customers defect from an agency, because guess what? It's rate shock. But if you're educating them prior to that and walking through some options, your
right,
chances of keeping that customer go up dramatically. So I think it's efficiency with these new tools, such as marketing systems, Michael,
yeah,
but it's also doing things that make more sense for the customer, and also will make your staff happy, because they're really truly helping people through this stuff, whether they're a personal lines customer or a commercial lines customer.
Right. Okay. Well, Peter, you know that we have conversations with hundreds of agencies and brokerages every single week, and our sense, and again, this is a little bit anecdotal, our sense is that at least with those with whom we speak, It's easier to engage in meaningful conversations about technology. It's easier to engage in meaningful conversations about connecting more deeply with customers and delivering ongoing value. So at least it's our hope that there's this, that the industry is really is beginning to wake up, to recognize that the consumer's changed, and to wake up to the fact that there are ways and tools and technologies that can make those connections happen for them. So, and there may be thousands of agencies out there that just don't want that conversation. I'm not as optimistic as you are that they can actually survive 10 or 15 years. I think they'll be hurt. Unfortunately, I think, you know, when change happens, it happens. You know, we can wish that, gosh, I hope my boat never tips over, but if the storm is bad enough, it's going to tip over. And so I'm not optimistic that it's going to be easy to hold on to that 1990s style agency for another 10 years. But at least I'm optimistic that there's a maturing going on in the conversation and in the industry, and we're kind of beyond just sort of the crazy early adapters. You know, we know who they all are. You know, that one always want that shiny new thing. And we're really in conversations, more conversations with serious agencies and brokerages who are making strategic decisions to connect more deeply with their customers. So I'm hopeful for those who are listening and talking and concerned about those who are pretending that there is no change. So,
Well, all right. And, you know, I'm a baby boomer, Michael, and in our generation and the greatest generation, which was basically the parents of the boomers, they really wanted things like stability and security, which is why they stayed at IBM for 40 years or whatever it was.
Right.
They just needed the essentials. We boomers, you know, we're very much into possessions and bells and whistles and things. As they go down to the millennials, they're looking for something else. They kind of want to know how everything fits together. They want that path. They want the training. They want relevance. They want meaning. That's why they talk so much about flexible hours and working for charitable causes and things like that. It's just a bigger picture. And I think it's really good, again, for the independent agent that can present to go circle back around, to present an environment where they can learn. They can use tools to learn about not just insurance, but about what customers want. And so there's some really slick things out there that can connect prospects with an agency. But I think I think this is their turn. This is their time to dive into these tools. And many of them are. I know some smart agency owners say, you know what? I know I got to make some changes. I'm not the one to do it. I'm going to hire some young people to come in here and take over our marketing, take over the website, take over our social, take over our digital, and do it the right way.
Right
and maybe on. Even take over how the place looks. Let's come up with some paint and window treatments and carpeting and furniture and just blow up all these stupid cubicles. Everybody stacks all this paper. I mean, come on. You know, a lot of these things look like nursing homes, Michael. It's not good enough.
Right.
It's just not good enough anymore.
Well,
I think people want... They want trusted relationships in work, and where they buy their products and services. They want high quality. They want to be educated, and they want to have a good use of their time. Everybody wants those things, whether it's an employee or a customer or prospect.
Right.
So I think smart agency owners will be talking more about relevance, and there's plenty of material out there about this. This is not really a trend as so much as a kind of a realization that you cannot separate brand and culture. You can't have an external face that doesn't match the internal face.
Right.
Brand is very much like culture. It's the internal brand. And there's a concept in my head of an infinity symbol, Michael, where if you were to draw an infinity symbol in the air, you'd have on one side brand, which is how the external people look at you. And then on the other side of the infinity symbol is culture, and they meet in the middle in this X form, and the X is values. What are our values around here? And those values are lived on the inside, and they're shared on the outside, and
they're
incredibly powerful, which is why Amazon paid so much for Zappos. But not the only example of a strong culture. There's plenty of examples of how people are doing things in their core value statements like, you know, encourage and embrace innovation, deliver your best, invest in partnerships, commit to a culture of education. These words have consequences, and you're, if you write these down and you're, and they're agreed to and shared with the staff, and they say, well, what does a culture of education mean in our agency? We'll talk about those things. What does that look like?
Right.
And if you have a culture of education, of course you would have the most modern marketing system there is out there. Of course you would go beyond your digital file cabinet of customers and say, you know what? We need to be much more relevant in the digital space.
Well, Peter, we're both singing out of the same choir book here. So I concur with and appreciate everything that you've said so far. Peter, you do work for agencies and brokerages and other organizations in the industry. A lot of the work is around what we've spoken about today, branding and culture, also public relations. If somebody wanted to make contact with you, Peter, how should they do that?
Okay. Well, there, I'm more than happy to talk to folks on the phone. I actually prefer to do that in person or phone, actually have a real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So my phone number is 703-868-0144. And folks can call that or just shoot me a text. And then I'm also available on email, peter@artrike.com, peter@aartrijk.com. And that's a like you, Michael. It's a family business. We, my wife and my daughter work here. We have a small firm that is dedicated to the independent agent broker channel, of where I got most of my training at the Big Eye and other organizations like National Underwriter. And we also do brand strategy in a firm called Chromium, which is chromiumbranding.com. If folks want to learn about that, and then we have a research effort called Channel Harvest Research, channelharvest.com. But I, just in closing, Michael, I my father-in-law was an independent agent, my late father-in-law, and like you, I just have a real connection to this industry, to the people in it. I think they're incredibly wonderful people, and I think as a group we should stop apologizing for being in the industry and present this industry as a very strong, powerful, and positive place to work and to help people going forward. So I'm overall, despite the challenges, I'm really, really excited for these guys.
Got it. Well, Peter, no doubt I'll be seeing you soon at one of the national conferences that are coming up shortly. Meanwhile, again, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom and for your generosity. Thank you very much.
Glad to do it. Thank you. Good luck to everybody.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.